Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, our producer, Katie Galley, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. But Stone, this is going to be a very special one. We got an interesting group today.
Yeah, we got the CEO, Net Weavers, with us this morning. We've got Anel Barnett, Tony Mitchell, and Jim Sullivan. Want to open the show by visiting with Tony for a second. Tony, tell us a little bit about CEO Net Weavers. What are you out there trying to do for folks? Mission, purpose, that kind of thing.
CEO Net Weavers, what we're trying to do is provide a safe place for CEOs to give back to the community and to help each other. So we don't have capital raising or asking for donations or selling stuff. It's just a safe place where CEOs can go and give back and also help each other out.
Now, what do you mean by safe? Is it like no punching? That's like a bully-free zone? What is safe?
Right. Yes. No punching. No. Sometimes when CEOs are trying to either give back to the community or help each other out, oftentimes you may have somebody that wants to sell you something or have a relationship with an ulterior motive. Mm-hmm. And this is an environment where we guard against that. You know, really just provide an area for us to just hang out and be able to give back in a way that we don't have to worry about that kind of stuff.
But is it one of those peer-to-peer environments where you're trying to help each other grow your business and you're sharing, you know, hey, I got to fire somebody. Anybody have any tips? Like, is it that type of arrangement?
Yes, it's that type. So for example, to help each other out, we have something called CEO Roundtable where CEOs do exactly what you just said. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, this is an issue in my business that I'm facing. To help others, we also have Inflection Point, which is a program where CEOs, there's a panel of 4 to 6 CEOs that help a company free of charge to be able to come in and just have the benefit of their wisdom as their company is at an inflection point.
And in the room today are a couple of people who have gone through that.
Yes, indeed.
We want to introduce them.
Yes. Would you like me to?
Yes.
Yes. Anel with Marketing Mob. She went through Inflection Point just about a year or two ago. And just a great person, now a member of CEO Net Weavers and major contribution to the organization. We're so happy to have her.
Thank you.
And then Jim Sullivan. Jim Sullivan, man, I just had a brain slip. Heel Pros. Okay.
Everybody calls it Health Pros, Heel Pros.
Yes.
Health Pro.
Heel Pros.
Yep.
And he is CEO also and went through Inflection Point many years ago. You remember what year that was?
I think it was 2011.
Okay. Yeah, they have some great stories to tell.
All right, so you want to share? Let's start with you, Anel. How did this experience? First, what drew you to it? How did you become aware of it?
Actually, another person who had been through the Inflection Point program let me know about it. Mm-hmm. And described the program to me. And of course, my first question was, how much does it cost? And it turns out that it's a free resource to business leaders and CEOs. And that was very surprising to me. So I don't understand why anyone wouldn't take advantage of this program.
But do you have to be asked? Is that where?
You do have to go through a qualification program. Mm-hmm. For sure. It's an application, and then you do an interview with the person who runs
it. What was the criteria they look for?
They're looking for business leaders who are they're looking to grow their business. They're going through an inflection point within their business. So they're looking for people who are needing a change or ready to make a change that will greatly impact the success of their program.
And then Jim, you went through the same kind of vetting.
I did.
How'd you get in?
Begged a little bit. As Anel was saying, I think they're trying to just qualify that you're serious about having a formal business structure about pursuing some endeavor, right? That there is a real incorporation or a formation of a company, that you have a real business plan. You've identified a very clear concern so that the group can identify that there is something they can help with. So not only do we qualify for the group, but the group assesses their ability to help us. Mm-hmm. Through our inflection. And they're pretty honest about that. If they don't feel they can help, they'll tell you, hey, this is not something we can help you through.
Now, Tony, is this something like where you have to have so many dollars in revenue, or you have to be around for a certain period of time? Like, what is some of the other criteria of choosing if some CEO's good for this program?
not a specific level of revenue, but it is, they're at an inflection point. They are not pre-revenue. So they are.
So they have to be in existence and have sales.
Yes.
But it's not like $1 million with sales like some of these other groups are.
Correct. Correct. Right. And we also have nonprofit, not-for-profits also.
Oh, so they can be part, a nonprofit can go through the same program.
Yes. Yes.
Now, were you part of this vetting committee? Were you one of the people that helps make the decision? Have you
participated? No, but separate committee, separate group that does that. We have a chair, Tom Berger, and he's done it for years. He does very good. Michael Blake, who for a living is actually, he does valuations. Both of them CEOs and former executives. And they go through the process of vetting the organizations.
And I wonder too, is one of the things that you guys look for is coachable? Is that like a characteristic that you would look for? I mean, I think I would if I were ever put in a position of that type of... if I ever had the opportunity to be in that kind of position, I think I would look for coachable.
Yes, yes, very much so. Sometimes you will find people that, to Jim's point, if they're not serious about it, you know, we just can't help you. Or if they're trying to do something that we don't have the expertise in. You know, if somebody says we're building space shuttles and we need engineers, you know, we might not be able to help them out.
So now, Jim, when you decided to go through this program, were you were heel amateurs, and then you went through the program, and then you're heel pros?
Yeah, pretty much. I think it's, now was touching on it. First thing was I was very confused about the offer of a pay it forward, no strings attached offer of help. Mm-hmm. Coming from New York, maybe that just doesn't happen a lot there. But soon after meeting Joe Licata through Chuck Marino, who introduced me to the program, I realized that, you know, it was truly a servant leadership kind of group that really did want to pay its, you know, knowledge back into the community. And we were just past startup. We had formed our LLC and we were just trying to figure out our business model at that time. So we didn't have any revenue. Thankfully, through a couple of things that we can get into later, it made a very big difference for us.
Now, is the program very structured that it's X number of weeks and you have to do certain tasks? Like what is the program like?
Yeah. So the program typically lasts 3 to 4 months. We meet once a month, each month of those 4 months. It's a panel of 5 to 8 CEOs, business leaders that are advising the CEO individual who owns the business. And we meet for 2 to 3 hours at those times. So it's it typically happens on the same day of the week and the same week of the month. And in between the programs, you go back and put a lot of effort into the things that you learned. And when you come back to the next session, you present the things that you've accomplished over the last month. So you actually get feedback on the programs and things that you implemented over that
time. Is there a homework or pre-work before you even get
started?
There
definitely can be homework and there is for sure pre-work. So
what's an example of some pre-work?
Well, if you walk into a group of 8 people that know nothing about your business, then you're probably not, and you don't do pre-work and establish a presentation and give them the information that they need to advise you on your business, then you won't get very much out of it. Right. So it's part of the coachable learning factor of being part of the program. You have to do your part. You get out of it what you put into it, basically.
Now, when you went through it, how were you just trusting and vulnerable at go? Were you like, okay, this is what I'm stressed about. This is what... Did you just kind of embrace the
thing? For sure. Yeah. It's, I mean, you have to be in order to get something out of it. And you have to lay all the cards on the table. If you're hiding things, then it's not going to, it's just not going to give you anything back. So.
Now, did they have any suggestions that were hard or uncomfortable or that made you really rethink?
Oh, for sure. Yes. As Jim and I were discussing before we came in here, it was the questions are often as valuable as the advice and suggestions and feedback that the group gives you, because they're asking tough questions. That
like, what's a tough question?
A lot of it was around what your purpose is, what you're trying to accomplish, what your end goal is, what's your exit strategy, different things that as a business leader, you should know the answers to. But as a solopreneur that I am, I'm not often asked those questions because I'm the one that's...
Like you do everything.
Right.
So your exit strategy was, I just want... to keep doing this? Or
no, my case. My exit strategy would be,
sell the company.
Yeah, to be acquired or sell the company. Right. So, but you know, you have to get your business to a point where it's valuable enough to be sold. And some of the questions and some of the feedback was to develop and build a business for that purpose, because it's a lot harder to retrofit
a business the day you want to sell it.
Exactly.
As opposed to plan for the day you want to sell it today.
Right, right. And then the financials that are involved in that, mm-hmm. And being able to answer the financial questions and things that come along with acquisition.
So now, Tony, how many members are there? So it sounds like there's a couple groups. There's CEO NetWeavers and this roundtable. And this Inflection Point, these are all separate groups, or they're all under the same umbrella of CEO NetWeavers?
All under the same umbrella. There's about 60 members. About 70% of those are CEOs. And then we have what's called trusted advisors. Mm-hmm. And then we have different programs. So for example, Inflection Point, we have an executive MBA mentoring program with KSU and Georgia Tech. We have the CEO Roundtable. We have a speaker series on Thursday. So the group selects where they want to participate, where they want to give back, and where they want to help each other.
And then, so the Inflection Point is no charge for the CEOs chosen to go through that?
Correct.
But the other thing, there's a fee to participate in those?
No.
There's
typically
no fee
not a
in fee. Anything.
When we have a special event, which is the symposium coming up in April, there is a fee for non-members. But outside of that, there's a membership fee for CEO NetWeavers that kind of takes care of everything. There's nominal fees every once in a while when we have a dinner and we want to take care of the folks at the restaurant or something like that.
And they have like a perfect farm system, right? You guys went through this Inflection Point thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You bought into this whole pay it forward value system. Obviously, you had that value system to begin with, maybe.
They help make it better.
All right. And so how are you paying it forward now? Jim, I'll ask you first.
Well, prior to moving to Florida, I was actually a member of CEO NetWeavers right after I finished the program. And I participated in probably about 8 or 9 panels myself. And I found it's interesting. You get a lot more out of it than you give, which is shocking. I mean, being the panel member or the company that's being evaluated, you feel as if everything is one direction. But when you actually participate on the panel, you realize it's a great way to get to know people by serving together. And it's just something that made me realize that they were getting a reward as well. Although I still feel I got the better end of it, you know, in their generosity.
Do you feel the same way, Anna?
I do. Yeah, I could echo his words. It's I'm now a member as well, and I'm serving as the marketing chair on the operating committee. So I'm giving back to the organization in that way, and helping to plan the executive symposium. As Jim said, when I've been through a couple of Inflection Point panels on the other side as well. And it's amazing the rewards that you get back from that, and actually what you learn being an actual advisor rather than being a mentee who's receiving the advisement.
All right, Tony, if I'm a CEO NetWeaver, which I'm not a CEO, but this value system sounds very familiar to me because my CEO thinks and walks and talks a lot like this. But if I'm a CEO NetWeaver and I have this pay it forward mentality, what does that look like on a Thursday? I mean, how do I approach relationships, business? How do I approach my day differently, or do I?
You probably already have that value system, but as you come in, you know, Jim was teasing, but for me, I would say it was serious that it helps me become better at how I do pay it forward and how I do be a servant leader. So some of the speaker series that ask us questions about ourselves to say, well, if this is a servant leader, servant leaders behave this way. And then I say, wow, well, am I behaving that way? Well, maybe I could take it up a notch. Maybe I could do something different. So the speaker series helps us ourselves pay it forward and pay it forward through business and what we do with our businesses. And then also with helping each other, whether you're sitting at the CEO roundtable, whether you're sitting at Inflection Point, when you're sitting next to people like Jim, like Anil, that have gone through and they're impacting businesses, and you just have normal conversation, you just are better. You're better because of the people you're associating yourself with. And that's the other benefit, whether it's on Thursday morning or whether it's at an Inflection Point or a CEO roundtable or mentoring or whatever it is, you're next to other CEOs that are like-minded and kindred spirit, and you can't help but help each other. Part of it's your DNA, and the other part is just, we're in this together. We like to pay it forward, and you just learn from each other in a way that you can't learn from a textbook or, you know, the internet or anything else.
Now, this sounds great. Pay it forward, servant leadership, all that stuff. Is there any data to support that businesses that have that kind of mentality perform better?
Yes, and I don't have it, but our speaker on the executive symposium, Pat Flatico, she is with Greenleaf Servant Leadership. She has consistent data, and she had just spoke at one of our Thursday morning speaker series. So I don't have that on the tip of my tongue. I'm just not as good as Pat.
Right. So Greenleaf is, I think, the first people to use the term servant leader. They're one of the first people to use the term servant leader. And what's the relationship with Greenleaf and your organization?
Pat is also a member, and she is running Greenleaf, and we just partnered together. Mm-hmm. So we came together, we asked her to be the speaker at the event that's coming up. And as a member, she's been just as valuable as all of our members in contributing.
And the event you're referring to is a symposium that happens in April?
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that? What is that?
Yes. Last year, what we wanted to do is to be able to give back some of the thoughts on servant leadership and who CEO NetWeavers, who we are as a group. And we decided to have an event last year called the Executive Symposium. And we had several speakers last year. And we were just going to do it for one time to see how it worked out. And Scott Williford, who was the one that was the driving force with it, did an amazing job. And then after we were done, everybody said, well, you are going to do this every year, aren't you? So that's how it continued into this year. And we're looking forward to it.
And then where is it located? Where is it happening?
It's going to be at Nelson Mullins. Last year, we had about 120 people. This year, we're limited to 150 because of the venue. But we're expecting up to 150 people.
And then is it just speakers, or I'm sure there's some networking happening there?
Yes, we have networking before at a break and then after. And then we have two speakers. We have the gentleman from United Way, Milton Little, president and CEO, and then Pat, who we just mentioned with Greenleaf. And then we have a panel of people that were the executives on the Inflection Point to talk about Inflection Point a little bit. And then we have some time that we have some of the Inflection Point participants on a video kind of giving their story and telling the audience a little bit about Inflection Point.
Now, you mentioned earlier about your relationship with KSU and Georgia Tech. Can you talk about how that works and how important it is to get young people at least aware of this type of servant leader mentality?
Sure. We have with the executive MBA programs at both universities, we started off with KSU. And we've had several people go through that. I'm trying to remember how many. There's 120 students. So 120 students
total
have gone through. And we just started the executive MBA program at Georgia Tech a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. And that's quickly expanding. So we're now at the point that we have more demand than we have people that can connect with the mentor couples.
So now how does it work for the students? So then you speak in front of the executive MBA classes, or are you actually mentoring them? Like, how does?
Great question. The executive program chairs or deans select the students, and it's based on how many people we have and how many people they have. And we try to match up based on the capacity that we have. And then they have the mentoring couple, the two partners in the mentoring.
So it's one-to-one mentoring?
One-to-one mentoring. Mm. And then they set the schedule over that specific semester on how frequently and where they meet.
And then what happens in these meetings?
Usually the executive MBA student is coming and saying they're bringing their questions and what they're attempting to do either with their career. Some of the executive MBA students are at companies. So what they're trying to do with their companies. So they're just asking that mentoring type relationship questions that you would have if you had time to sit with the CEO and ask whatever you want to ask. Mm-hmm.
And Jim and Annel, have you ever participated in that? Or
I have not yet been a member, mentor.
I did for KSU, and Terrence Height is my mentee. And I met him about 3 years ago, and we're still in contact. We touch base probably every month and a half, and he's working through a new business while he's growing his family. So I think the mentor program was an opportunity to initiate a relationship, and mm-hmm. it has a certain window. And then I think what happens from there is that you form a relationship and you take accountability. Most people take accountability for that individual far beyond the end of the program.
Now, what are some of the questions that the student asks?
It's infinite. Given that they're an MBA student, a lot of it might be more about what is it like out there? What are opportunities to start a business? How does it work? And then when they get out there, typically start with a job and they want to pursue in parallel an entrepreneurial effort, because that's my background. What'll happen is we'll talk through the various phases and we'll help them get through, her or him get through. In this case, it's Terrence, get through the different thinking that has to happen and how to keep it in perspective, because it is a long journey. And they recognize that by the end of about a year of working with someone, that this is not a quick fix, right?
Now, are they coming in cynical or open-minded? Like, this sounds good. Is it too Pollyanna that you can do this? Or because there's a lot of, especially young people that we found, that they kind of are down on business and down on entrepreneurship because they read about all this bad stuff happening about CEOs being greedy, exploiting resources. And, you know, is it really a noble pursuit?
Well, I mean, the folks that are open to mentoring are pursuing to fill their gaps in knowledge, right? So those individuals are coming with an optimism about something bigger that they want to, you know, produce than just what they're doing currently. So obviously, not everybody's a good fit for the program. Not everybody's open to having a mentor. And I look at it more after you start mentoring, you become peers and good friends that just have different experiences and knowledge. So I learned from my mentee as much as I sort of give back to them, because they come with a fresher and less jaded perspective. And sometimes we need to be reminded that we are jaded and it's not the truth necessarily.
Right.
So that's been helpful.
Now, Tony, is that part of the mission of the group, is to show this optimistic path that business can be noble, you can do good, and it's okay to make money? It's like, you know, the kind of this, we're working with a group called Conscious Capitalism, where they're, you know, their stakeholders aren't just your shareholders necessarily. You do have a responsibility to your community and to your employees and to all the people in the ecosystem.
That's not a stated goal. The stated goal is really to help CEOs give back in a safe way. But that happens simply because of the nature of the person that is giving back. Mm-hmm. They're going to be educating and saying, yes, we can't cast all corporate America into one bucket, although we're tempted to, and many times have very good reason to do that. There are organizations out there that do good, do right, and they do well because they are doing good and doing right. And that's just part of the relationship, whether you're talking about business, marriage, life, you know, whatever it is, to be able to help someone else and help them in a positive way.
And then, so if somebody wanted to learn more about CEO NetWeavers, do you have to go through the inflection point? Is that the first step to even just kind of indoctrinating yourself to the group? Or can you go to the symposium first? Like, how does it work?
Just call Jim.
Why not?
You could, our executive director is Pat, pat@ceonetweavers.org. You can email her, but you can enter as a CEO or trusted advisor by going through an application process. And then you can also go through the inflection point process. So those are the two main ways. Mm-hmm. So if someone wanted to come to one of the breakfast meetings that we have with our speaker series, they could kind of check it out, look at CEO NetWeavers, then let someone know that they'd like to, they're interested in becoming a member, contact Pat, and then take the ball from there.
I want you guys to set up like a second banana club, you know, like the number two guy. Because I find all this very appealing. I'm not the CEO, but so much of this I find very attractive. I want to have these conversations too. So just planting a little seed
there. Okay.
you know, just now and again, you can have like Margarita Mondays or something for the number two people.
Well, we do have some membership that's trusted advisors. So we do have those people are representative of our organization.
You know, we get lonely too. And let me tell you something, managing up to the CEO, it's not always a walk in the park. I'm just here to tell you. Yes. I mean, my guy's pretty good and I enjoy it, but.
Good answer.
Now, for the symposium, did you say that was open to anybody or that's a members only event?
No, that's open to anyone.
And then how can people, is there a website for you guys? Where can I go to learn more about the symposium?
CEONetweavers.org.
And then the date, exact date for that, do you know?
Yes, it is.
April 17th.
April 17th, and that's in the morning, afternoon, evening?
It's actually from 2:30 to 7.
2:30 to 7, and there's a couple speakers. There'll be opportunities to hear a panel, and then there'll be networking.
Yes. Correct.
Mm-hmm. And that's at Nelson Mullen?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then for each of you here, CEO NetWeavers, Anel, has this been something that, is it a meeting you look forward to every month or is this a...
I do. Yeah. I enjoy our speakers. I enjoy the conversations that I have with other business leaders and CEOs. Me personally, I wish it was a little later in the day because it's very early in the morning. But
when you're president, you can...
right, exactly. That's right.
That's You'll get your turn.
Exactly.
But so it's something you get a lot of value at still.
I do. And I really enjoy the giving back part. As someone who's trying to grow a business, it's hard for me to go and seek out those opportunities because I'm so busy and so involved in my own business that this gives me an opportunity to give back in a structured way where I don't have to go out and find the opportunities to do that.
And then for you, Jim, same thing?
I'm looking forward to rejoining because I've been away for 2 years.
So you moved?
I moved to Florida, but I was a member for 5 years and I'll be joining again.
So you're coming back this year. Didn't work out in Florida?
Well, it's hard to live in Destin, Florida.
It's hard to work in Destin, Florida.
There you go.
I grew up not too far from there. Yeah. It's hard to work in Destin,
there you go.
Florida.
It's easy to live, hard to work. Thank you. Yes. That was a good distinction. Thank you.
And Tony, for you, this group, it sounds like it's a big part of your life.
Yeah, it's a major part. I'm past president this year. Paulette is president. And it's just a very great way to be with people that are like-minded, that want to do good, both in their business and in the business community. And there's not too many places you can find that, that there may not be another motive, which is perfectly fine. There's groups that do a lot of very good things in other areas too. But this is a unique group, so that's why I really enjoy it.
And then is there any, if you were giving advice to a CEO that maybe isn't familiar, how would you kind of frame this so that this is something they should take advantage of?
There's the cliche that it's lonely at the top that many of us have heard. And that's part of it is there a place that a CEO can go ask the questions without any repercussions or it remains confidential? And they can just ask that question straight from the heart. And if they have that, that's an incredible benefit. So you want to keep that if you have that. And if you'd like to either expand that or you don't have that, this provides a way that you can do that.
And that's, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's also a non-sales environment. So that is not allowed in the organization. So no one is trying to sell you their services or pitch their products or anything to each other. It's truly about the group and about the trusted relationship. And it's a great organization to.
So you can't go in there with thinking, oh, well, there's 10 other people, so I'm going to sell 5 of them something. So if you have that kind of transactional mentality, it's not going to work for you. That's probably not a good fit, right?
Correct. There's a lot of organizations that do that very well, but that is not what we're about.
Right? And you're about kind of supporting and educating and celebrating the victories amongst the group that you're with?
Yes, celebrating the victories, but also being able to celebrate hanging around other folks that do have this mentality of paying it forward and giving back.
And that's CEONetweavers.org.
Correct.
All right. Well, thank you all for being part of the show. CEO NetWeavers, it sounds like an important organization that can really serve. Is it only here in Atlanta or is it all over the place?
It is here in Atlanta and there is a chapter that's in Houston, but it's a little bit smaller. They're going through, they're growing into themselves right now.
And so if you're an Atlanta-based firm, reach out and then see, you might be eligible to be joined.
Correct.
And go to this symposium. And Nell's going to be signing 8x10s, right?
That would be interesting.
Is that sold out? Is the symposium sold out? Or is it still not.
So there's still time to register.
Yes.
All right. And you can find out about that at the website, ceonetweavers.org.
Correct. Yes, indeed.
All right. Well, thank you all for being part of the show today.
Great. Thank you.
This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton, our producer, Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.